Ecclesiastes, and I love this book, and I really do, and I think it'll be a help to you. I want to really primarily focus this towards the young people, but I think this can be for the older people as well.
Yes, sir.
And I think we can all get something out of the book of Ecclesiastes. But I'm just so excited to see all the youth up here. Praise the Lord. Just so many people up here just singing and praising the Lord. It's just a joy and a blessing for me to be able to get to see that. All the excitement as well, you know.
Amen.
Not everywhere you go, you get to see that excitement. And so it's great to be able to see that. But the book of Ecclesiastes, and I love this book, as I've already mentioned, and I'm not going to be able to explain to you what you can get out of it in your own personal devotion time. But hopefully I'll be able to get a little thought across this morning. And I want to talk about what is the purpose of life.
Amen.
Has anybody here ever thought about that?
Right.
Have you ever thought about why am I here?
Yeah.
What's my purpose? And I know I have a lot. Especially growing up, you know, I thought, well, why am I here? You know, why do I have the opportunity to grow up here in the United States?
Right.
Why did I grow up where I grew up at in Hartwell, Georgia? Why did I go to the school I went to? Why do I have the parents that I have? Why do I have the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home and get saved at the age of 7 years old? Why did I have all these opportunities? What's the purpose in life? And I began to look here at the book of Ecclesiastes, and I believe it answers that question.
Amen.
The book of Ecclesiastes does. And look here in verse number 1. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. So who are we talking about here? Who's this preacher is talking about? Who's the son of David? Who's the king in Jerusalem?
Solomon.
It's Solomon, right? So we all agree it's Solomon. Okay, we're clear on that. And so we're looking at the life of Solomon here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we see, if you remember, of course he was a king. We see that here. But not only that, but remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, 7 through 12, God comes down and says, hey, Solomon, what do you want? And what does Solomon ask for?
Wisdom.
I don't know about you, but I would say, God, I mean, I like $1 million, you know. Maybe I can get me a Lamborghini too, you know. I mean, that'd be nice to drive around the kingdom, you know. I mean, something, you know. I mean, I don't know about you, but wisdom, that's probably the last thing that would come to my mind. It shows you how full and ignorant I am, you know. But I'd be thinking, you know, all this worldly stuff I could have, you know, all these things. Man, I'd be well off, you know. I'd have it all. But he asked for wisdom. Just think about that for a moment. So he's one of the wisest men. But not only that, if you also look in and over there in the Chronicles, you see that he was one of the richest men in that day and time. Remember King David, his father, was the king before him. And he was conquering, you know, all these nations. And so it was a peaceful time for him. And so he had nations and people coming and visiting him, giving him all this gold, silver, all these other different minerals and things like that. And so he was a rich man. It talks over there how much money he was getting, like a week or a month and stuff like that. So he was a rich man, but he looks out over all the stuff that he had, and he says this in verse number 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You might be thinking, what is that word vanity? You know, when I first read it, you know, I thought it was talking about the countertop, you know, that thing in the bathroom or something. Ain't that a vanity? I think that's what it's, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about, I had to look it up in a dictionary. It means worthlessness, meaningless, pointlessness, uselessness, and emptiness. That's what vanity means there. I tried my best to count up here in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's mentioned 35 times, if I counted correctly. Where I'm from, you know, we only count with our hands and our toes, you know. So I tried my best to count, you know. But it says 35 times, so it ought to be pretty important, right? The word vanity. Not only that, but look here, we see that Solomon, since he's one of the wisest men, that he gave his heart and his pretty much his life to search out things. Look here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. It says, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done here under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Verse number 14, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Not only that, flip down, look down to verse number 17 and 18. It says, and I gave my heart to know wisdom again, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So we see that Solomon, he gave his life to learn stuff. You know, he tried to get more educated. He tried to figure out the things of life. You know, I could just imagine him, you know, kind of like a scientist would, you know, trying to figure out things and things like that. But he looks out over all that and he says, you know what? That was vanity. It didn't get me nowhere in life. All that education I had, all the learning, all the knowledge, all that I had, it didn't get me nowhere. It was vanity. It even says there, for in much wisdom is much what? Grief there. It's like the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. You ever do that, you know? You get into school, you think, oh, I know everything, yeah. And as soon as you get that little quiz, you know, you think, oh, never mind. Can I get that cheat sheet, you know? You know what I mean? But we realize the more we don't know, as older as we get, I'm only 24, but I realize I don't know nothing compared to people. And that's why the book of Ecclesiastes is so good for us, especially us young people. Because it's an older man looking back. He's already been through life. And he's looking back in his life. He's saying, hey, let me tell you younger generation something.
Right.
I've already been through it. I've done it. And let me tell you, it's vanity. Right. It's worthless. And we're going to get to more about that. You might be thinking, well, that's not encouraging. It's worthless. We're not done yet. But chapter number 2 here. Also in Ecclesiastes 7:25, it says the same thing. It says, I applied my heart to know and to search out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. But go with me to chapter number 2 there. Chapter number 2 says, in verse number 1, it says, I said in my heart to go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I mean, I love to do fun stuff. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I love it, you know. It's just so, I mean, I like to go out, and some of the stuff I love to do is, you know, exercise, you know, go hike a mountain or something like that, you know, that's just my type of stuff. What I call fun, usually someone's like, you think that's fun, you know? I kind of like to torture my body. It's kind of weird. But I call that fun, you know? But it says here that pleasure and whatever you like to do, it says, you know what? That also is vanity. It's vanity. Look there in verse number 2. It says, it said of laughter. It is mad and of mirth. What doeth it? Again, it says, hey, laughter. And I love to tell jokes. I love to cut up. But he says, you know what? That also is vanity. It's worthless. The verse number 3, it says, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. He says, you know what? That was vanity as well. You know, wine don't satisfy. Alcohol, drugs, none of that stuff. None of that stuff satisfies. It doesn't. It's vanity. Look in chapter number 2 there, verse 4 through 6. It says, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchard. I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. He goes on there. He says, hey, I did all this stuff. He says, hey, I worked all my life. I built all these cities. I planted all these different trees and vineyards, and I did all this stuff. He says, you know, that was also vanity as well. That was vanity. Not only that, look in 7 and 8 there. It says, I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. But he says, you know what? That also was vanity. All the stuff he had, servants, cattle, silver, gold, treasures, singers, instruments. We're talking about King Solomon here. You know what I mean? When I picture of a king, you know, I picture a big old throne, you know, he's sitting back on, you know, got people feeding him grapes. You ever seen those TV, you know, shows, you know? I mean, he had everything he wanted. And he looks back in his life and he says, you know what? It didn't satisfy me. It didn't fill that void that I have inside of me. It didn't please me. It was vanity. It was worthless. Not only that, but the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 11 and verse number 3, this might shock you, and he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Think about that for a moment. He had all, not only all those stuff, but he had all the women he wanted. And still, it was vanity. Vanity. Think about all this for a moment. One person said, well, he must have been wise, but not with all those women he had. But I said, well, that's a good point, you know. And I'm just trying to find me one, praise the Lord. Well, look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 2:11 says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." So he sums it up again. He says, hey, all the stuff I've done, it was just vanity. But look what he says, though, at the end of that verse. There was no profit, those three words, under the sun.
Right.
Under the sun. Those three words are mentioned in this book as well 28 times. And it refers to a life viewed entirely from the perspective of this earth.
Right.
A life apart from God.
Right.
And you know what? People on this outside world, you know, non-believers, lost people, that's what they try to do. They try to figure out and have a purpose
right.
to life without putting God in the picture.
That's it.
But we can't do it. We can't. The only thing that gives man purpose in life is God.
Amen.
It's the only thing that makes sense. It's the only thing that makes sense. Solomon realizes that life on this earth and all the things there is to do doesn't satisfy or give us purpose. There's only one thing that gives man purpose, and that's God. I'm afraid we get caught up in the creation and we forget about the Creator. Don't we?
Right.
We get so caught up in this world, and it hounds us each and every day, whether it be on the television screen, on our phones, and we get so caught up in it that we forget that, hey, we need to be worshiping the Creator, not the creation.
Amen.
That's our problem. We are focused on the stuff under the sun and not the stuff beyond the sun.
Right.
It's absurd to try and make sense out of life apart from the God that created us. How true is that statement? Have you ever pursued after something and figured out it wasn't what you expected it to be? That's life under the sun.
Right.
And so we're going to try this little illustration here. But I ain't had bubbles since I was a kid. You know what I mean? I was trying to practice back there in the bathroom, and they were not doing like I thought. You know what I mean? I was thinking, man, I need to learn how to blow a bubble again, you know? Well, let's see if I can do it a few times. But you see these bubbles here? Pretend like this is your job. You see how it just busted? Pretend like this right here is... maybe something like, I know when I was in college, you know, I tried to pursue after college, be a college athlete. But I was blowing that bubble and boom. When I got there, I realized, hey, it wasn't nothing to it. It didn't last. It didn't satisfy me. You know, a lot of times in our lives, you know, we think that we'll get a job promotion or something like that. You know, we'll focus on that and just, it busts. You know, we get there, we think, well, hey, that's going to satisfy me. That's going to give me more money. I can do more things. I can do this and that. We realize, hey, that doesn't satisfy.
Right.
It's just like a bubble. And I believe all throughout our lives, whether it's sin or whatever we do, I mean, you can... oh, that didn't work out. We can blow out these little bubbles here. Oh, my soul. Hold on. There we go. So say that's... say that one even popped there. But there it goes. But you know, I'll quit with the bubble illustration here. It's getting all over me anyway. But, you know, I'm afraid we chase after these bubbles,
right.
in our lives. I mean, it could be sins, it could be sex, drugs, alcohol. We think, hey, that's going to satisfy us. And especially you young people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, I've been out and done some things, and it doesn't satisfy.
Right.
It doesn't give you that purpose and stuff for your life.
Right.
It's just like that bubble. You chase after it, you think, oh, that's going to be so exciting. That's going to be great. You go over there, you pop that bubble. Oh, no, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Wasn't what I thought. And that's life under the sun.
Yes, it is.
That's life under the sun. It might be a silly illustration. Maybe it helps someone today.
Amen.
But not only that, it says in Ecclesiastes 2:17-18, look with me there, 17 and 18, it says, "Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me."
Right.
Think about that for a moment. You know, you pursue all those things in life, and you just got to give it to someone else after you die. You can't keep all those stuff.
Right.
But he says he hates his life here. King Solomon. We're not talking about some poor guy, you know, working at Burger King or something like that. We're talking about King Solomon.
Right.
And if you look at celebrities and people of this world today, they're in the same condition.
Yeah.
They finally reach that popularity. They finally reach their career. They finally reach that point And they realize it didn't satisfy their life. Something was still missing. And that's God. God was missing in their life. That's why you hear so many suicides today. And let me tell you what, I got someone in my family that just recently just got a revolver and put it up to his face and was about to pull the trigger. But something he said, he just couldn't do it. There's so many people out here who's searching for something, who's wanting purpose, who's wanting meaning in life. And all they have to do is just look up to God. But we can be that person, you know, to tell them about that.
Right.
Hey, let me tell you, I know you're seeking, I know you're searching out all the things of this life. Hey, the only thing that makes a difference, the only thing that satisfies is God.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. So do you hate your life? Realize you cannot find purpose or meaning in life when you keep looking under the sun. So quit looking for it under the sun and look for it beyond the sun. Life under the sun is worthless without a relationship with the one who made the sun. Yes, our lives are lived under the sun, but our focus should be on life beyond the sun. Not only that, but hey, life's short.
Right.
I don't know if you realized it, but I feel like I was just in high school the other day. But I'm already 24. I'm getting old, and sometimes I feel like a mess, you know. Kind of hard to get out of bed, you're in the back, the way it is, you know. But James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." That's our life. It's here for a bit, just like that bubble. You know, we're here for a little while, and it's going to eventually just pop and go away. That's our lives. Ecclesiastes 6:12, it says, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" That's so true. We're here for a moment, we're gone. So instead of focusing on the temporal things of this life, let's focus on the eternal things. And that's what I want to talk about for a minute here, is life beyond the sun. And God can only offer that.
Amen.
God can only offer that. So I just want to ask you today, do you have that relationship? I don't know anybody's heart here, but do you have that personal relationship? I'm glad to see, amen, three people got saved. That's a blessing.
Amen.
You now have a new life. You now can live out these things that we're talking about here and have that and pursue that meaning and that purpose in your life. But the Bible says, hey, that all have sinned. It says there in Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Not only that, Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil."
Right.
You know, one day those things are going to come to light. And people are going to realize, hey, I was a wicked. I did do some bad stuff in my life. But hey, you realize that, hey, Jesus did come and die for you, amen?
Amen.
And there is salvation in him.
Right.
And God wants that relationship with you. That's the only way to find purpose and meaning in your life. Not only that, the Bible says that the resurrection gives us a reason to live. 1 Corinthians 15:14, it says, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." But hey, our faith ain't vain, amen, because he did arise, amen. It's not vanity, it's not vain. Not only that, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, a lot of times, you know, we either we go on outreach or we try to witness someone or we try to do the Lord's work, right? And we try to give all this time and effort. And we sometimes get to the end of the week and we're like, well, man, Lord, I feel like I ain't doing nothing. You're not seeing the results you should ministry-wise, or you're not seeing things happen. You think, well, what's the point? I might as well just give in the towel, right? But he says, don't do that. He says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just keep on serving him.
Amen.
Just keep on living for God. And later on, we'll realize everything and when it comes to pass. But not only that, if you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I want you to look at a few other scripture before that, but go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter number 13 there. But I think a lot of times we complicate the will of God in our lives as well. I think wherever we find ourselves doing, do it for God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest."
Right.
He says, hey, one day you're going to die. So whatever you're doing, you better do it all your might. And so we've only got one life to live here. And not only that, but it talks about the young people here. It talks about in Ecclesiastes 12 there, verse number 1, if you look there, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, for the years draw nigh when thou shalt have no pleasure in them." And so you young people, I want to encourage you. God can use you now. And I'm grateful you have a church that will plug you in right now and that will get you involved in the ministry and get you doing stuff. Because I get to travel around to a lot of churches. I've already been to probably over 250 churches. And I've gotten to see many people things. And our churches don't have young people like this around the states here, around the southeast where I primarily have been. And it's sad to see that. But realize how you young people can have a big influence. A lot of times, you know, I always heard the saying growing up, you know, sow your wild oats, you know, while you're young, you know. Do all the stupid stuff while you're young. Go ahead and get that out of the way. And then when you get older, get a family, you know, finally get settled down, then you can start living right and serving right. But no, that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
Bible says, hey, you can start serving now.
Amen.
And let me tell you, young people, it's not going to be easy. I mean, the devil's going to come up in your life. He's going to distract you. He's going to have those little bubbles pop up everywhere in your life. You're going to go, ooh, that one looks good. That's a big one, you know. You're going to run over there to it. But, hey, don't get into it, you know. You're going to find all these different avenues and pathways you can take. But, hey, don't go to it. Go to God. Go to God.
Amen.
He's going to be the one that satisfies you and fulfills you in your life. But I just want to end with this. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse 13. I don't want to take many time. I know y'all have a big day today. Praise the Lord. A baptism. And also a baby dedication, right? So praise the Lord, amen. That's a lot in one service, amen. And doing well all within an hour here. So that's good. That's good timing. And but look here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 13. It says here, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You know, Ecclesiastes exposes the utter emptiness of life without God. The book of Ecclesiastes does not teach us much about God. Instead, it shows us the futility of life without him.
Amen.
Solomon isn't trying to destroy trying to destroy your hopes. He's directing them to the only one who can truly fulfill them. And that's God. That's God. So it's the same way that the book of Ecclesiastes ends, the way I want to end. It says there, "Fear God and keep his commandments." It says, hey, this is the whole duty. So what's our life to be consumed of? Just honoring God, fearing him, and just doing what he says.
Amen.
And that's a lot to say right there, though, doing what he says. You know, what the Bible says about that, you know, be ye doers, not hearers, you know. That's a whole other thing. But, you know, if we do this each and every day in our life, and I've had to learn in my own spiritual life, in my own walk, I have to daily pray to God, God, I need you this very second, this millisecond. You know what I mean? Because I know where my mind and where I like to wander many times. But I have to have him each and every second of my life. And I'm afraid that we get so caught up in the things of this world. And it hounds us, doesn't it? And it gets us so caught up in it. And we're just hit day by day. But let's think differently. Let's think the way the Bible thinks. And let's get into it. And let's live lives for him. And I just want to encourage you, the older people here, that, hey, you can have a big influence in this younger generation. Because let me tell you, I don't mean this in a bad way, but you are up in age. You know what I mean? You've been through life. I'm 24, but some of you are a whole lot older than me, you know. And you've been through life. You know? And you've already seen the things. You know, y'all know how to write checks. Y'all know how to do all these things that I didn't know how to do. You know what I mean? But you can teach these younger generation the things about the Lord. You can be there for them, and you never know how God could use you to do that. Because they're looking for somebody. They're looking for a hero. They're looking for someone to help them, and you can be that. I'm grateful for my grandparents. I just want to encourage you young people, a charge for y'all, that, hey, God can use you. And it says, hey, do what he commands. And I hope some of you today might be considering missions. Someone say, hey, I want to surrender my life to missions. You know, that's God's heartbeat. He wants all people to know about him.
Amen.
You know, I wouldn't be doing this because there's a a fun time over there in Bolivia. To be honest, there ain't much to do over there in Bolivia. You know what I mean? I mean, they ain't got no good restaurants, you know. They ain't even got a McDonald's, you know. Only thing they got is a Subway, maybe a, what else? They got a Fridays. Praise the Lord, they got a Fridays over there. And they got a Subway now in the city of Cochabamba. But, I mean, there really ain't too much over there that I would really want to do. But there's just people over there that needs to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what we got to get our eyes on.
Right.
And look at people and realize people are hurting. People are struggling. They're going through things. And you can come alongside them and be that encouragement to them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I love you, Lord, and thank you, God. I pray, Lord, this message, Lord, would do something, Lord, in the heart, Lord, of your people, God. God, I pray, Lord, it would, God. I know, Lord, it's touched me in my heart, Lord. And, God, I pray, Lord, that it would, Lord, come alive, Lord, in someone's life this week. Lord, they'd get through the book of Ecclesiastes this week. They'd get through the whole book. It's only 12 chapters long. And they would find, Lord, the same stuff that I found in it, just good stuff that I couldn't even mention, Lord, today, Lord, as well. But, God, I pray, Lord, we'd live this out in our lives. God, help us, Lord, not to focus on so much things that we want to do, this world, and the things, Lord, that we so often chase after. But help us, Lord, to follow after you and to long after you and to do, Lord, the things for you. And, God, we just love you, Lord, and thank you. And I just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Work during this time. In Jesus' name.